Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? Most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by stgeorgeutahgolf.com. Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again. Always happy to be talking golf getaways with you. I'm Mitch Lawrence in the seaside golf capital of the world in Myrtle Beach. He's Darren Bunch. He's out there on the western edge in California. You can find Talking Golf Getaways at golfnewsnet.com. And we are thrilled about that, plus on iTunes podcasts and TuneIn. Darren, excited we are, to quote the great Yoda.
Very excited to jump into this Emergency 9 with our friend Ryan Ballingy, but First, everybody needs to know that this episode is sponsored by our good friends at the rising bucket list destination of St. George, Utah Golf. I've been out there recently, and it is an amazing place to play golf. Some of the West's most picturesque golf courses at the foot of amazing Zion National Park. To book your next great golf getaway, visit stgeorgeutahgolf.com today.
Beautifully done. All right, we had an obvious privilege this week. We spent some time on Talking Golf Getaways with Ryan Ballingy from golfnewsnet.com. Fantastic website full of all kinds of information that some of it you'll find other places, but I guarantee you it won't be in the way that Ryan does it at golfnewsnet.com. They are our new partner for Talking Golf Getaways and the Golf Getaways team. We're happy to be doing that. And Ryan, we are going to put you to the test now with our Emergency 9 questionnaire. This is where we get to find out kind of quickly about some of the questions, the answers to questions that we get as golf travel journalists more often than not. Are you ready to get into this? Because it's a pretty daunting test, I think.
I hope I'm prepared, but you never know until you get into the cauldron.
All right, we'll start with the first question on your Emergency 9. Your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
That I've played Pinehurst number 2. I just love the setting there. It calls to history. I mean, you go past Donald Ross's house, the great championships that were there. Now that it's been renovated, it's how it was intended to be. I love Coren Crenshaw's work. So to have that associated with Pinehurst number 2 is just perfect to me. So I would say Pinehurst number 2.
All right. That's I think you're the first person to put Pinehurst on the list, but it seems like a lot of people would. So if that's the favorite place you've been, talk to us about your bucket list. What's at the top of your bucket list? Where haven't you been that you really want to go?
I think there are two places on the opposite coasts of this continent. And one is Cabot Cliffs, Cabot Links. It's been so widely well-received. It's so remarkable. I mean, the pictures just make you want to salivate. And then on the opposite end of the continent and in the United States, Bandon Dunes. I mean, I can't imagine more of a golf mecca than a place that will pay you $100 if you play 72 holes in a day. So that's kind of the two places I think about on this continent. And then I would love to go play golf in the Sand Belt in Australia. I think that would be the thrill of a lifetime. And then obviously, if you're a golfer and you don't want to play golf in Scotland, Wales, England, Northern Ireland, and Ireland on the coasts and play links golf, then I don't know how you appreciate this game. So those are kind of the places that are on my bucket list.
All right, next, question number 3. You've traveled a lot already, even though there's a couple of great destinations you haven't been to. Where is the best place you've ever stayed?
The Spanish Inn at Pebble Beach. My wife and I stayed there in 2010, just a few weeks after we had gotten married and actually gone on our honeymoon. We went there for the U.S. Open, and Lexus sponsored a Waggle Room at the time for the week. And it was an incredible experience to stay there, just to be so close to the pulse of the championship, but also the accommodations there just made you feel so special. And I love staying at the Greenbrier, which is about a 4.5-hour drive from me here in the D.C. area. I love the property. I love how quaint and quiet and from a different era that it is, but it has so many modern accommodations, and they make you feel so special there. So I would put those kind of right up there.
All right, Darren, before you move on, you know, we've got some news from the political realm that now the esteemed owner of the Greenbrier is now the governor. So you can tie in a bunch of stuff together when you go to the Greenbrier.
That's exactly true. Yeah, Mr. Justice, That was quite a win for him, among other crazy wins on Election Day. I was going to follow up and say that this is how you know that Ryan and I are going to be long-lasting friends. My wife and I actually honeymooned at the Inn at Spanish Bay, and the Greenbrier is one of my wife's favorite places that she's ever stayed in all of our golf travels. So we're right there on the same page. So moving on, though, on the list, what's the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip, and where?
I mean, there's so many good things, but one thing that comes to mind, at least on a golf trip, the Shed Barbecue near Biloxi, Mississippi, was awesome. Man, it was good. I mean, it was melt-in-your-mouth good barbecue, and it wasn't something I necessarily expected to have. It was kind of part of a trip, and we were taken there, like, hey, this is what we're going to have for lunch, and I was like, wow, this is just mind-blowingly good. So I'll say the Shed.
Besides actual golf, when you go on a trip, what's the most important thing to you on a trip?
The company. I mean, really, that makes everything to me. It's the people that I'm with, whether I know them or not, you know, whether I'm going there by myself for a golf tournament or another event, I'm going someplace maybe where I'm meeting people I haven't met before, or I know I'm going to have to play with people I've never met before, or I'm going with people I know and love deeply. That's the most important thing to me. After that, everything else is kind of secondary. I want to play a great golf course. I want to have a fun round. I want to stay in a place that makes me feel good and happy, and then have great food. And it's kind of in that order: people, food, place, golf. I know that sounds weird to put golf last, but the people make the golf for me.
It doesn't sound weird, and you know why? You know what Darren's favorite thing on a trip is? The most important thing? The shower.
Then I have to communicate this. In Montreal is the best place I've ever taken a shower. There is a hotel, and it's this kind of small hotel we found on like a travel site, and had a good rate when we went up there just before our son was born 4 years ago. And they had this amazing like six-headed shower that held, it was like as big as like a walk-in closet. It was the coolest thing ever.
There you go, Darren.
I'm ready to go right now. No. All right, let's move on. What's the one piece of golf apparel that you would recommend to everyone? And I assume on this one that obviously you see a lot more product and equipment than most of us. So what's the one thing that really jumps out at you that you can't live without?
The thing that I can't live without when I travel is probably chargers. A good charger. And I mean a good charger on the golf course, like those kind that are kind of the portable power stations. I have like three or four with me at all times. They're not always all charged, but I try to have one with me when I'm on the golf course. I like to take pictures. I like to take video. I kind of have to follow what's happening in the world a little bit. Most of the time I don't get to escape that. So that's it. If I need anything, it is power. And other than that, a great shave gel.
All right. Is there any golf apparel that you can't live without? Something that you bring?
I have lots. I mean, I'm a bald guy, so I need hats. I have lots of hats. I have hats that match every outfit. I have hats that don't match outfits. I have hats from situations. So I try to plan, you know, if it's going to be really sunny for the course of the week, obviously I got to bring a hat every day. And I kind of bring extra hats. Usually that's the one thing I buy from golf courses is a hat because I know I'm going to wear it. So hats, lots of hats.
I know you mentioned on your earlier podcast about loving Disney. Do you have Mickey ears? Do you ever wear Mickey ears?
My son has them. I still have at my parents' house my Mickey ears hat when I was the first time I went there when I was four, which is now 29 years ago. kind of hard to believe. But actually, Disney World in 2000, I guess early 2009, that was where I went on a trip with my now in-laws, and that's where I told them I planned to propose to their daughter. And we all kind of got in a secret plan together so that I could pull off the proposal and that they could be there that weekend and not have my wife know about it, so that when I propose and hopefully she said yes, that we would have a nice big party and it'd be a really cool surprise. So Disney World for a lot of reasons, always holds a special place for me.
All right. Well, the next question, and I know the answer to this because, as I said, I've gotten to play golf with you. Your handicap, what yardage do you play from? And I'm going to actually ask a follow-up question after you answer that.
I am these days a 1.6. That is unfortunate because I got up to close to 3 this year and then totally ruined that with a couple of good scores. I was just starting to enjoy getting strokes again, and now I'm not. I usually try to play. I really don't care where I play from. I truly do not. I typically, unless it's a tournament round, play somewhere in the 65 to 6700 range. But I will happily play from 5,000 yards because, as I'll tell anyone who plays with me and asks me that question, until I shoot 54 from one set of tees, I'm not good enough to pick which tees. So I'm willing to play any length golf course because there are different pieces to the puzzle that change when you change the length, and it can either be more fun to hit driver on every hole, or it can be more challenging. Other shots can be more interesting on a longer golf course. So I really don't care, but if you made me pick just out of the hat, I would probably pick one tee up from the tips every time.
And what's your follow-up there, Mitch?
He answered. The follow-up was, are you okay with playing from, you know, the forward tees? And I think, Darren, given the way we feel about the tee situation and how much fun we try to have and how many times we've played, even though we're hickory players, how many times we've played the forward tees, I think we should print up Ryan's answer about until you shoot 54 from a set of tees, then those tees are okay. I think we should print that up, frame it, and bring it with us to places when we play.
Exactly. No doubt about it. So, Ryan, who's your favorite golfing partner and why?
I have a couple of golf buddies at our club, and I like them because they're good people. They're a little bit older than I am, so they have some wisdom to them. They don't take golf too seriously, and I think earlier on in my life, I took golf a little too seriously. In my teenage years, I played competitively. I have more fun now playing with them than with anyone, even when I'm playing games at our club with guys who are professional caliber, who are out playing professional golf right now. And I say that because it's still challenging to play with them. They get a lot of strokes on me, but we have a really good time needling each other, having fun. So those are the kinds of guys I love to play with. And as I've alluded to before, we have an annual in-law trip every year where we have 12 to 14 people get into a house in Orlando for 5 days or 6 days and play 4 or 5 rounds of golf together, depending on who's there. And I love playing golf with those guys because we've been doing it together it's getting close to a decade now of me being a part of this trip that's been going on for more than 30 years. And it's really cool to be able to form a kind of golfing family that you can't wait for that week. And you're so sad when it's over. And then when you get on the plane coming home, you start to tick down the days when you get to do it again. So those are my two favorite sets of playing partners.
What a cool answer. That's fabulous. All right. Your last emergency nine question. You mentioned earlier Aaron Hills. So I'm assuming people might not know about Aaron Hills yet, but they will in the run-up and then at the 2017 U.S. Open. So let's say other than Aaron Hills, what's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
I'll say this. East Potomac Golf Club in D.C. is an absolute dump. And I mean that belovedly. Because it's a municipal course. It's in D.C. proper. It's not very well kept. The greens probably run at 5.5 on the stim meter. The golf course isn't hard at all. But the coolest thing about it is that you play 8 holes into the Washington Monument with a view. That's what you're hitting into. And for someone who's spent the majority of their life in and around this town, and I have a love of politics and policy and governing and stuff like that, I'd find nothing more compelling than playing that golf course because it does kind of represent our democracy. It's not always well kept, and it's kind of messy, and sometimes it isn't all that spectacular, but then you turn around and you look at it and you go, yeah, this is pretty awesome. So that's one place I would think a lot of people would love to play, and it's dirt cheap too, so it's great.
What a fantastic answer that is. I love that. You've got tin cup kind of in there, and you've got, there's all kinds of references, and you're using your degrees in public policy pretty well, too.
Yeah, because that's about as close as I want to get these days to our topic.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. We'll let it go there. This has been great, Ryan. Obviously, we're thrilled to be partnering with you at golfnewsnet.com, and we're going to have Ryan a lot more on Talking Golf Getaways throughout the 2017 PGA Tour season, so you can look out for those podcasts, and please go to golfnewsnet.com. Every day, there's great coverage of all things golf, and it'll be done in a way that you're not used to, and I know you will love. You can also find Ryan again at Ryan Ballingy on Twitter. It's a great source of information. Ryan, hope you've enjoyed it. We're looking forward to having you back a lot.
Thanks for having me on. It was a great time. Can't wait to do it again.
Okay, man. I'm Mitch Lawrence here in Myrtle Beach. Darren out in California. Thanks. I know I'll be talking to you soon.
Oh, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, that sounds great to me. All right, thanks everybody for listening. And as always, don't hesitate if you've got golf travel questions, suggestions for episodes, or just your favorite places to play, stay, and eat. Go to hashtag TalkingGolfGetaways, hashtag Emergency9, or Darren and my favorite, hashtag TwoHaggisBags, because that's kind of how we think of ourselves. Thanks for being with us on Talking Golf Getaways. We'll talk to you next time. Until then, Tom Petty does it. We hope you will too. Go run down your dream. So long.